Dear ones, I think that if we, when we read this portion of Scripture, that it can be quite maybe disturbing, alarming, to think that there are Christians, as Paul is describing here, a life of a man who lives by the Spirit, and the life of a man who lives by the flesh. And there is the terminology out there today that there are carnal Christians. By introducing that terminology, we dismiss what Apostle Paul is saying here in its entirety. We dismiss it because we are comfortable with living a carnal life. We're good. Because we do not want to be under condemnation, so we are a Christian. But I don't want to live under the law of God, so I'm carnal. So we blend them together. I'm a carnal Christian. And we move on. Apostle Paul describes carnality here as something that is an enmity. A carnal mind is enmity with God. And against God. And so enmity is warfare. It is a mutual hatred. Hatred. And so, you know, I know I say this many times, and we think about it. We are either lovers of God or haters of God. That's what Apostle Paul lays out here very clearly. And none of us here want to be labeled as I hate God. I don't want him. But our actions, according to Apostle Paul, reveal that exact same thought. That when I do not want to live under the Spirit, the reason I don't want to live under the Spirit is because I want to please the flesh. And the law of God does not allow that. The law of God, it's not that he gives me the rules. It's that when I've become a spirit, a spiritual man, that means that I've been justified by God. Because it tells us here in the first verse, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness of sinful flesh. So God sent his son, Jesus, to take on flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh. And so he took on himself sin, yours and mine, and imparts unto us his righteousness. And that alone, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, faith in him, being justified by him, the Bible is clearly telling us here then, and Apostle Paul is labeling it or introducing it here also, that after we are justified by him, when he imparts his righteousness unto us, we no longer are servants of the flesh, we become servants of God. We are the Spirit of God that leads us to Christ, cleanses us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and imparts unto us his Spirit, and we rejoice in him as he leads us. The Bible clearly lays out that a man who lives according to the flesh cannot please God. And so we can ask ourselves just this past week, let's not go back years. Let's go back to just this past week. What was our life like? And we can ask ourselves, do I have the Spirit of God living in me in light of my last week of life on this earth? Can I look to my life and see that I am a servant of the Most High God, that I love God? And what do I point to? Because, you know, I often think that sometimes the life of a Christian is no different. When we look back at our previous week, what were our pursuits? Was I thinking, how will I feed myself? How will I clothe myself? How will I house myself? If my thoughts were all on this flesh, how will I move forward? How will I prepare for retirement? How will I get this and do this? And everything is focused on me and the flesh. How can I claim to be spiritual? So what were my thoughts of the spiritual nature of which I claim to be a man of God? And it tells us here, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. There's a comma there. So the carnal Christian will like to put a period right there. Just give me a period, and it's good. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because I can claim to be in him, because I've gone through some ordinances. But he puts a comma there. Apostle Paul puts a comma there, and he goes on, he says, the description. Now, this isn't the description of a description of, okay, so if I'm not walking after the flesh, okay, by doing this and this and this, then I must be in the Spirit. No, because Apostle Paul even clearly lays out, you can give your body to be burned. You can give all of your goods to feed the poor, and you're not in the Spirit. So what do I look at in my own life in this past 5-7 days to determine that I am walking in the Spirit? Because if I'm looking to my righteousness, I will label many good things that I've done. And if I want to stand at the throne of judgment with my works, I'm going to be condemned. I don't care what I did. And so he says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the way of, but after the Spirit itself. And, you know, when we think of a carnal mind, I know we have to think about what Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, where he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Who's he saying this to? Brothers and sisters, I can't speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Why? He says, you're carnal because among you there is envying and strife and division. Are you not carnal? He says. And you walk as men, you walk as one who is in the flesh. Is there strife in my life? I'm a carnal man. What constitutes strife, we might say? Envying? Divisions? All of those things feed the flesh. All of those things are for the flesh. And so Apostle Paul is describing carnality. We might think carnality is, I'm giving in to the flesh as far as lustful desires. And that lust can entail all kinds of lusts, whether they be impure, whether they be monetary, whether they be pride in wanting to be someone and so on. A lust for self, for glorying of self and pleasing of the self. We can say, well, you know, those aren't the carnal things that I'm involved in. Paul says, you have envying, you have carnality. You have strife, you have divisions, there's carnality. And what was the church in Corinth? What was he speaking of? You're creating divisions among yourself because some are saying I'm an Apollos, some are saying I'm a Paul. And so he's telling the church in Corinth that they are carnal men, and they have to come out of that carnality, or they will face a condemnation. And so, brothers and sisters, today, we can look at our life, and we can consider our life from the times that we claim to have Christ and say, is my life a life of a spiritual walk in Christ? One who is, where it says that the Spirit, that I'm walking after the Spirit. Can I look at my life and say that I am not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit? He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so I will say, if I can easily dismiss, you know, we all love to be judges of self. And we easily condemn someone else and never ourselves. Because the discomforts that God's word creates within us, we can talk our way through and justify in a way that the scripture cannot justify. And the brother just prayed that the Satan is a deceiver, and Satan and the devil, the exact definitions of those words are deceiver and accuser. So first he deceives you and me, and then he accuses us. That's all he solely does. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the first two chapters are speaking of what God did. And he saw that it was good, and he created man, and he breathed his spirit into man and became a living soul. And in chapter 3, we see an old serpent. We see a serpent, which actually the book of Revelations discloses that Satan is the old serpent. And we see Satan on the scene in chapter 3, lying to a man. Did God say that? No, he didn't say that you will die. And God said, you will surely die. And man finds himself at a choice that he's going to make. Do I want to partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be like God's? It's exactly what Satan wanted himself. That's the sin of Satan. He wanted to be the one to be adored and worshiped as God. And so man does that exact same thing when he lives a carnal life. He adores and he worships himself, his flesh. He seeks to please himself. And the way of the cross, the way that Jesus Christ walked, the way that he tread, is that through, this is something that a carnal mind cannot understand, that through humiliation and through suffering, the absolute defeat of Satan took place. We don't understand that. Man only understands power, might, military. Who has the greatest amount of foot soldiers? Who has the greatest amount of artillery and bombs and aircraft and all those things? Who is the strongest? And Christ shows a way of humility and suffering. And he defeats Satan, and he is glorified through you and through me when we also walk as he has walked. Because that is the way of victory for you and me, as it was for our Lord Jesus over Satan himself. As it was prophesied in that very chapter 3 of Genesis, that Satan will be defeated. And so we might ask, so why doesn't God just put an end to Satan? Well, he will. But he's offering today to you and to me an opportunity to look at our life. Because we can say we are lovers of God. And we can claim to walk in the Spirit. And we can say that, even in that chapter 13 of Corinthians, he describes who God is, because he says, charity suffereth long. So he's speaking of charity, which is love, which is God, who God is. So we have to look at who is God, because he says charity. So that's love, and that's God. He says, charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Again, the church in Corinth was envying. That's not love. That's not God. He said, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. There's no pride, because any pride in a man, any amount of pride in a man where you just in some way feel good. Even as you look at the deeds of your day, you feel a smugness about, yeah, I did good. You vaunted yourself up as if you did something. It's not puffed up. God is not, that is not the way of God. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's its rejoicing. That's the love of a Christian, is truth. Where does it say? Colossians, it says, lie not one to another. We see, what is paramount in the life of a Christian is truth. Charity loves truth. That's what charity does. God, who is truth, and we as lovers of God love truth. We will never, because Satan is the deceiver. He deceives. Are you and I going to deceive one another? Are we going to make each other believe something that is not true for perhaps our benefit, or perhaps in some way to make progress? Or to just be puffed up, to vaunt self up. That's not the way of God. Is there anything in my last 7 days that I live a life that was carnal? Well, the Bible reveals that I am against God. That I'm a hater of Him. I didn't say that. That's what Paul said here. He said, it is enmity against God, a carnal mind. We cannot live for the flesh and say we love God. And we even love to throw in the carnal Christian description of God hates sin, He loves the sinner. God doesn't throw sin into the lake of fire, He throws a sinner into the lake of fire. God will look down upon a man who He created and breathed His spirit into, breathed life into, gave His Son for him. He will look upon him as unworthy of being in the presence of Him who man has denied and refused to walk according to His way. The one who suffered for us. The one who it says here, came in the likeness of sinful flesh. And condemned sin in His flesh. He died and drank of the wrath of God that was at a sinner. The wrath of God was for a sinner. Yes, God hates sin. And ultimately, the man who denies Jesus Christ and will not walk according to the Spirit and will have no part of the Spirit of God hates God. And God has a place for the haters of God. A lake of fire. The wrath of God. And so, we can even read in Thessalonians, there ones with Apostle Paul closing an exhortation, he says, where he talks about rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and goes on proving all things. In other words, that's the truth. Lover of a truth, you prove all things. Are they in alignment with the Spirit of God and His truths? Because I am a lover of truth. And so, proves all things, holds fast to that which is good. What is good? Only truth. Only truth. Everything outside of truth is not good. And everything that is truth is God. And so you hold fast to that which is good, which is God. God is good. And he says, you abstain from all appearance of evil. And then he goes on, he says, and so the very God of peace sanctify you. How? A little bit? Partially? A lot? He says, wholly, completely. May he sanctify you completely, entirely. The very God of peace, the Spirit who resides within us, who he has given unto us to live by his power. He says that the God of peace would sanctify you wholly. And then he goes, and I pray to God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul says that your flesh, your body, is a temple of a living God. Are you going to defile his temple? He says, of which you are. That's the flesh. Living according to the flesh is a defilement of the temple of God. And so, dear ones, victory doesn't come in many different fashions as far as what I'm able to do. Victory is entirely giving self over unto the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit and seeing that the carnal mind has been crucified. We hate God. Man says, I can serve God, I can serve mammon. Jesus says, you cannot. You will love one and hate the other. That doesn't sit well with any of us. It doesn't sit well with us when we look back on our days and we see their sin in our life. No, you know, I know we all fear five sins. And that's probably a big problem for us because we dismiss all other sin. All the sin that leads to enmity against God that we find room for in our life. And we're just carnal Christians. And it's better to be a carnal Christian than no Christian at all. That's the deceiver. And then the accuser. He deceives us into believing it, and then he accuses us before God and says, look at him. He's no servant of yours. And we go on our merry way, planning, thinking, moving on as if the Spirit of God has no say. We hang our hats on a day in which we were baptized to identify with the Spirit of God. And you and I all know, we all know, and we have said it, that if you go down into the water of baptism, in your identification with Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, where he took on sinful flesh, as it says here, and condemned sin in his own flesh. When we identify with him in baptism, that if we go down a sinner, we will come up a sinner. So the baptism of water, of spirit, the sealing, the rituals are meaningless when the heart has not been given over unto him. So then where is the identity? Is it the baptism? Is that the moment that we believed? Were we not already dead to sin prior to baptism? Did we not already have victory over sin? Did we not already take this enmity, a carnal mind, living for self, and crucify it on the cross where Jesus instructs us to? And so then I look at those moments, and those days is my identity with Jesus. And we look at the finest deeds, as the hymn writer says, that our days, as we look back on them, what are we going to see? Righteousness? You want to bring those deeds to the judgment? Because if I'm going to tell God, look at this. Because that's what the man does. When Jesus himself is teaching us and preaching that sermon on the mount when he says, I never knew you. Oh, but didn't look at the deeds of my day. I prophesied in your name. I did this. I gave all my goods to feed the poor. I was active in missionaries of giving and going. And yeah, I might have put your law aside here and there, but look at the fine deeds of my day. I never knew you. Is there any strife, envying within our hearts? Is there a brother or sister that you don't like to see, that you avoid? The only reason would be there's no peace between you. That's it. How can you have peace with God if you don't have peace with your brother? You want to avoid your brother? You have no peace with him. You can say, well, he's a sinner. Well, I love him, so I'm going to go speak to him. And I'm going to hear him. So what is the excuse? And we go through life as a carnal Christian. And Paul says, you're carnal. And you're going to die. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life in peace. Who wants death? Who wants judgment? No one. And yet, man chooses judgment, death, and this death is not a physical death. It's the wrath of God. The wrath of a holy God. And see, that's something that you and I maybe can't reconcile, that God is love and God has wrath towards a sinner, towards a sinner. Don't sit there and pretend that, oh, God still loves me and he's not going to judge me. God has ultimate wrath for a sinner who rejects his son. That is the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. You rejected my son, who I sent to atone for your sin, which I hate. It is an abomination before me. So I've given you a way to be cleansed and redeemed and to be empowered to live a life of holiness, a life of love, of meekness, of temperance, of joy in the Holy Spirit. Quench not this Holy Spirit within you. Don't quench him. Don't say no when the Spirit leads you. Hey, go speak to him. Hey, go talk to him. In the spirit of love. Why? Because you love him. Or do you? It's much easier to avoid. It's much easier to speak about and to gossip and still identify somehow with Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect, loving Lamb of God. Brothers and sisters, can our lives really identify with Jesus Christ? And again, there's no condemnation when we walk not after the flesh. When we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, in capital S. When we walk after the Spirit of God, there is no room for the flesh. And so how can I easily identify moments where the flesh wants to come out of me and establish itself as I. How do I recognize those moments? Well, we have to learn of Jesus first. We have to learn of who he is. The one who came out of eternity and into time. In the form, in the likeness of sinful flesh, because all flesh is sin. And he took on that likeness so that he would die for you and for me. But he doesn't leave us there. He empowers us with his Spirit. And Paul says, I pray that you are blameless in body, soul, and spirit before him. Blameless. No blame. No blame. You know, a true Christian, and he would not hear these words, but if he heard the words of Christ, I don't know you, he wouldn't look to the fine deeds of his day, because a true Christian wouldn't look to those things. He wouldn't look for that for an identity with Christ. His identity with Christ is the cross. It's the cross that you and I despise, because anything that has to go to the cross has to die. We know that the cross is an instrument of death. We know that the cross is a place where there's untold suffering. And that is what it is like when we overcome the flesh. We go to the cross, and for that moment that the flesh is screaming at us, screaming to its desire, its want, it needs, we crucify it. No. And we see Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul. And because he loved us, we love him. Because he took on my sin and endured the wrath, the cup of the wrath of God for me. And so now my heart's desire is to serve him, to walk with him in unity and peace. And as I love him, I love my fellow man. And Jesus lays out so wonderfully the relationship between himself and the Father. He says, may the love that we have be the love that these have, you and I, with one another, so that the same love would be amongst one another. And Jesus says, and that's how the world will know that you are my disciples. The church in Corinth lacked that. You and I lacked it. If we look back, I'm sure we will find instances in our life. Now, what do we do with those things, dear ones? Jesus calls us always to return to him. To return to him, to repent. Something that the King David did, that we read in his Psalms of repentance and sorrow. And what does he pray? He says, Lord, take not thy spirit from me. Because that's the only way that he can please him. Don't take your spirit. Do you recognize in these last days where you have sinned, where you've made room for the flesh? Don't dismiss it, however small it may appear. As the hymn writer in our beloved hymnals writes out, don't, however small it may appear, but he says rather, repent. Don't take your spirit from me. because I'm going to be powerless then. I won't have the ability to serve you. With our hearts to love him, to love his law, all of his purity that we would follow after. Are we carnal or are we spiritual? Dear ones, being carnal, the scariest words we read is it is enmity against God. The carnal mind, the mind where Jesus, where Apostle Paul tells us, but you have the mind of Christ. So there's a mind of Christ which is governed by his spirit, which is why David said, don't take your spirit from me, because your spirit gives me your mind. Your spirit allows me to love my enemy. Your spirit allows me to love truth, to delight in truth. Your spirit empowers me and gives me. Your spirit does this. You cleansed me with your blood. You've imparted unto me your spirit. Don't take him away from me. And God is a God of love and of mercy, a God who gives us hope. He gives us hope when we rely upon him and give ourselves over to him. And he cleanses us of all of our unrighteousness. And he imparts unto us his. And he gives us his mind, and you have the mind of Christ. And we don't do despite unto the Spirit. We don't put him under a bushel, as we read last week. The bushel of sin. You're going to put the Spirit in all his power. You're going to cover him up with your sin. Basically render him inoperative in your own life because of that three-letter word, sin. And so it is my prayer for each one of us, brothers and sisters and dear friends, that we are truly look at our own lives in the mirror of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is truth, who lays out so beautifully what a life in him is like, and it is a life of joy. It is a life of joy. If you and I do not have joy in the Lord, we aren't living by his Spirit. We aren't living by him. We aren't living according to the Spirit. But despite all the difficulties that we will come through in life, and we can see that through as we reflect upon those whom God has blessed us to know in our lives. Some have been deceased and gone on to their reward. They've gone on to the reward in which they had lived for in a great hope, despite poverty, weakness, many obstacles, troubles, never had the pleasures that you and I have, the comforts. They've gone on. Where are we going to be tomorrow? None of us know. None of us know. Where are you going to be in 10 years? None of us know. But where are we going to be in eternity? Where are we going to be in eternity? That we can know. We can know. We can. Because the Bible tells us God is a God of truth. The Word tells us we have a blessed assurance. We have no condemnation when we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let us not be concerned about the tomorrows of this life. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, let us be concerned with the eternity of life, the foreverness. Where will we be? May God bless his word upon our hearts this day. Amen.